As we mature in our Christian faith and walk, as we choose to live and walk with the Spirit, remember last week we made a commitment to walk and to live by the Holy Spirit. It seems as we mature and grow in that, there are these huge paradoxical issues that seem to appear, and at times that almost seem to strike us upon the head like those bricks, or even worse, hit us in the stomach. For example, God assures us, I will never leave you. But at times in our walk with God, we feel so alone. The Bible says that God rules and He reigns over all of creation. And yet, doesn't it seem that evil often has an upper hand and maybe even reigns higher? God promises that He will lead us, He will guide us. God's word promises that He will direct us, and yet at times I feel that I am in a dark, dark valley, even a ditch. Where is God? Jesus said, I have come that you might have life abundant. Since March, in COVID-19, life abundant? How about life empty, lonely, and confused? How do we take these dilemmas in our Christian faith and walk? Oh, I know how some folks do it. I hear it and read it. They just smile real big and say, well, praise Jesus, thank God, God is good all the time, God is good. Perhaps a better way is to go back to the language of our faith. And the language of our faith contains the language of complaint. Psalm 13 that we read responsively is a lament psalm or a complaint psalm. There are over 50 individual laments, individual complaints in the Psalter, in the Psalms. There are 17 of what we call, community laments. There are more laments in the Psalms than there are psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of praise. The most of all the psalms or lament psalms. I have read and spoken and preached on Psalm 13 as much as any psalm because I think it is such an honest expression of the paradox that we feel as believers. Notice how the psalmist began. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me? How long will you hide your face? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Not once, not twice, not three times, but four times in two verses, the psalmist yells at God, how long, God? He's venting, and he's venting loudly. Now, our tendency, I think, as Christians, is we want to soften this, and we want to say, God, there may be a few things that I would like for you to hear, if you don't mind. Not the psalmist. The psalmist is right in God's face. The psalmist is not singing, God is so good, and every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. No, the psalmist is saying, where are you, God? I suffer. I am alone. I'm in need. I'm hurting. Where are you? I think there's a mini sermon in verses 1 and 2. And here's what the sermon is. When life falls apart, turn to God, not away from God. It may be the most significant truth of Psalm 13. The psalmist didn't close God out. The psalmist didn't go and crawl into a hole. He didn't even have a pity party for himself. He surely didn't run to his friend. Job tried that. He didn't tell his friends how unjust God was. He turned to God. And he told God how unjust he felt God was. When life falls apart, the first place to turn is to God. And after you turn to God, be honest with God. I've heard it over and over again in my years as a pastor. Well-meaning Christians who want to somehow protect God and say, you know, we can't question God. Don't question God. Just that's God's will. And our God is so big. There's not a question that we have that we can't give to God. His shoulders are so wide. He longs for us. Yes, even to question. Moses questioned God. Jeremiah questioned God. Job questioned God. The Apostle Paul questioned God. The psalmist questioned God. Jesus questioned God. My God, my God, where are you? God is big enough for any question. God is big enough for any question. God can handle our anger. He can handle our complaint. We can call out, oh God, how long must I wait? That's called relationship. An intimate relationship where we can honestly and openly share with God. You're in a relationship with a spouse or with a parent or with a close friend. There are things you say in an intimate relationship that maybe you wouldn't share to an acquaintance. But when someone knows you and you know them and you trust them, you can share with them your deepest heart's pain in an honest way. Did the psalmist vent? Yes, he vented. But he vented to the right person in the right way. Honestly, we come to the paradoxes of life. Give them to God. Give them to God. For when we complain to God honestly, when we complain and vent to God, I think that leads us to the next layer. And that is to communicate with God. Verse 3, look on me and answer me, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I've overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist is fixed on his turmoil, but it changes in verse 3 and 4. The psalmist begins to honestly communicate with God. Where are you, God? How long, God? Oh, God, let me tell you why I hurt. Now, we don't know what the crisis was in David's life. If this is the Psalm of David, we don't know. What was it? Was an individual harassing David? Maybe there were other enemies, not one. Maybe there were many enemies all around David. Maybe it was Saul himself. Maybe it was some of those barbaric people that David was trying to do kingdom work around. Maybe it was war. Maybe it was his own sin. Maybe the enemy for David was his own depression or his own impending death. We don't know. I don't think we have to know what the problem was. What we need to see is what David did with the problem. He began to visit and commune with God. How long, O Lord? How long? How long? Verse 3, look on me, O my Lord and my God. See how that intimacy, see how he begins? It's not just anyone. It's, O my Lord, my God. Look at these problems, God, and please act. God, intervene so I will not die. Act, O God, so my enemies will not rejoice. Verses 3 and 4, we see communication with God is so vital if you're to have real relationship. We need not be afraid to complain or vent, because that leads us then to communicate with a God who longs to hear from us. Communication, not only talking, maybe it's more so listening. For when we communicate and talk and listen to God, it brings us to confidence. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. That little word in verse 5 changes it all. But I trust in thee. Look at where the psalmist has gone. How long? How long? How long? How long? Oh, Lord, my God, answer me, but I trust in you. What a pilgrimage. I trust in you and I sing, for you have been good to me. When I read Psalm 13, I wonder, between verses 4 and 5, was suddenly the problem solved? I don't know. Was the enemy defeated? I don't know. Did the psalmist suddenly have his pain removed? I don't know. There seems to be no indication in the text that anything changed in his life. The complaint he brought to God led to the dialogue and the communion with God, and it reminded the psalmist of something he was so close to forgetting. He remembered God's unfailing love. He remembered the faithfulness of God. He remembered the salvation of God, and he began to rejoice in the goodness of God. God gave him back his song. This psalm begins in despair, but it ends in hope. What begins in protest ends in praise. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that even in the midst of COVID, in the midst of a world that doesn't make any sense most days in my life, I'm so grateful that I have a God that I can lament and complain and commune and cry and share, and ultimately end in confidence. I trust your love. My soul rejoices in your salvation. I sing your song. We're going to sing a song. Usually when we come to a hymn of commitment, we sing one verse and stop. But I think on this Sunday, we need to sing more. We're going to sing the hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour. We're going to sing, Lord, I need you. That's what the psalmist said. Lord, I need you today, every hour. Oh, I need you. In the midst of COVID, as kids go back to school, as parents and teachers and administrators, as we begin to try to put together our world, this should be our song. Lord, we need you. Every hour, you get those crayons, go buy yourself a pack. Those kids, those teachers, they need to know we are praying for them every day. Graham Childers tomorrow will begin his freshman year at University of Houston. Graham's going to lead us in a prayer. You remain seated as we then sing, I Need You. Graham.
God, are you there? It seems so long since I have felt the comfort of your presence, and even longer since I have experienced the assurance of your blessing. I do not like the words in my own heart, let alone those of my enemies. Come, O Lord, to this dark place in me. Let me know the joy of your presence again. With you, I have all I need. Help me to want nothing else. Amen.